Hi, I'm Chris Pepple, and you're listening to my Look to See Me podcast. I hope everybody's having a wonderful month. It's Pride Month when I'm recording this, so happy Pride. I am going to continue our writing our story and also providing another resource. You know, I know people say that you do better with your podcast if you have set days that you post your podcast. For those of you who wish I did that, I don't apologize. Here's a way you're supposed to apologize for us. But, you know, my life is complicated and there's lots of things going on in my life. And this podcast is very important to me because I truly believe in the mission that I'm trying to fulfill of getting people to take the time to look at other people's lives. But honestly, part of knowing me is knowing that it's difficult for me to get anything on a set schedule. So I'm thankful for my listeners who look to see me and understand all the complications that are going on in my life and how much I truly do believe in this podcast and my Look to See Me project, but know that it's probably not going to happen that this podcast comes out every Monday or every Tuesday, but I am going to give you something special today to think about. In this writing our story theme that I've been going with, I want to talk about writing your story as an ally. And some of you may be saying, oh, wait, I'm part of the LGBTQ plus community. So, of course, I'm an ally. But, you know, we're not every part. We, as an individual, can't speak for any group as a whole. So, for instance, you know, if you're not transgender, you can certainly be an ally for a transgender person. But we're going to talk about what that means today. Because I've heard people use the word ally, and then I look at their actions and I think, you're not really an ally. And I've had to check myself before to think that I'm standing up for somebody, and I have to go back to somebody in that group and say, is what I'm doing helpful? Educate me a little bit. I'm trying to educate myself because that's my responsibility. It's not somebody else's responsibility to educate me. But thankfully, there are also people that I know that are okay answering questions. And I go back and I check myself and I say, was this helpful or hurtful? Is what I said truly that of an ally, or did I misrepresent something? I do that when I write. When I interview somebody and put their story in the magazine, I was a writer for a long time for Southern Writers Magazine. And part of our policy was you send it back to them. You send it back to that author, that person, and have them read it before it's published. Because if you're truly trying to represent somebody's story, you want to make sure that you didn't get it wrong. And I know that's different in journalism. And I'm thankful for our editor, Susan Reichert, who had that in place. And that was my policy when I was writer and staff at a university. Is I sent it back to them and I said, is this who you are? I want to get it right. I don't want to put somebody's story out there just for some sensational effect. I never was a person who writes and tries to trick somebody into saying something. That person's story is a sacred story to that person, and it should be to us too. We should never be trying to retell it in our own words or misrepresent anybody at all. And when we say we're an ally, that is something that we have to be careful with, because if we're telling the world that we're an ally and they're looking to us for information, we have to make sure that none of that is misinformation. So I want to give you an example of how somebody tried to rewrite someone's story one time that I know, and it became a very hurtful situation because there was a person who came out when they began to transition, came out as transgender, and it was a confusing time for some people who knew that person and didn't have the information on what it meant to be transgender. And instead of going to reliable sources Or instead of asking somebody who is close to that person for information, or say, give us a book that we can read. Give us some information. Tell us a group that's an ally that we can read up on this. They decided to have a closed group meeting and discuss it among themselves, with none of the people in that group being transgender or have a transgender close friend or family member. They also chose not to reveal to anybody what was said, but they did let it be known. A couple of the members let it be known that that group happened, that group meeting. Immediately, that made that transgender person not ever want to go back to that group again. And you say, but why? What if what was said was helpful? Well, we won't ever know, will we? And it becomes gossip instead of really an educating session that could have happened, where that group could have said, hey, is there a speaker or somebody, is there a resource? There's a lot of great resources out there. For example, I'm part of Reconciling Ministries Network through their parent board. And there's some amazing resources that any group can use to educate themselves. And all of it is very valuable information. And it has been written and checked by people in the LGBTQ plus community. And it's solid information. And so what that group did is, instead of writing a group story about education and becoming an ally, they wrote a group story about being gossips, by spreading information that nobody will know whether it's accurate or not accurate information. And some of them said, but that was us being an ally because we talked about it. No, that's not what being an ally means. So what does it mean? If you want to be an ally and you want to write your story as an ally and you want to say, I really want to stand up for the LGBTQ plus community, you have to... Well, let me give you this quote before I go any further. If you don't follow a minister, Stan Mitchell, look him up online. Amazing, amazing person. Amazing ally. He says, if you claim to be someone's ally, but you aren't getting hit by the stones thrown at them, you aren't standing close enough. I love that quote because it's so true. So, okay, Stan Mitchell is your first resource that I'm going to look up. Stan Mitchell, pastor. It'll be very obvious who it is. He's very affirming, and his posts are very clear that you've got the right person. You can follow Stan Mitchell and just be inspired daily. So that's your first bonus resource that I'm putting out for the month. But I want to give you an example of somebody else. He was an amazing ally, and I'm not going to try to tell this person's story, but I'm going to tell you why I see them as an ally, and that is somebody who also serves on the Parents Reconciling Network board, and you can look up part of their story through some of the Front Porch, Virtual Porch episodes that that group has. You can look it up on YouTube, Reconciling Ministries Network. That's another amazing resource that I'm talking about in today's, and I'll talk about that a little bit more on another day. But look up Reconciling Ministries Network on YouTube. They have some virtual porch sessions that are amazing educational and community sessions that discuss so many different topics. One of the speakers has been Janet Duke. So that's why I'm saying I'm not going to retell her story, because you can find her story that she tells herself. What do I think she did really well as an ally? She tells her own story. She doesn't try to tell somebody else's story. And she educates herself. She co-wrote a book, is the main author of a book called Parenting Transgender Children, A Guide to Keeping Your Family Strong. Janet co-founded an organization, which is now, I believe, part of PFLAG, but a website that's Strong Family Alliance. And you can still search for the website, Strong Family Alliance. Janet saw a need to get correct information to families when children came out, and had the resources and the time to gather accurate information and gathered a team. Janet just didn't decide on her own to say, oh, look, here's some stuff. Let's just throw it together. Janet decided to be a true ally. So the first thing is gathering correct information, checking your sources, asking other people. Janet, when she wrote this book, gathered a team of counselors to help her put in the best information possible to get this book, Parenting Transgender Children, A Guide to Keeping Your Family Strong. It's a paperback form. You can find it on Amazon. Janet's ability to listen was key to Janet being an ally, and her ability to analyze what she heard. Listening to parents who were coming to her website and saying, I need information on this. I can't find correct information on this. How do I know what is information? And it started just information for the LGBTQ plus community as a whole. But Janet realized that there was so much misinformation about being transgender, and Janet had the resource to be an ally that could pull this together. And Janet became an amazing listener. Janet became an amazing researcher. Janet became an amazing person who could take the information she had, find people to verify that information, listen to people who are transgender, and pull this information together using the resources that she had. Janet did not try to tell the story without the transgender community being a resource, and without counselors being a resource, without people who work with transgender people being a resource. Janet had some readers and said, read this. I'm one of the people that was honored to work on this project with Janet in a small role. And Janet honestly said, if there's anything that you think is wrong, tell me. If there's anything that you think is confusing, tell me. That's what an ally does. An ally doesn't have a closed group with people outside the community and just decide what story needs to be told. So Janet writes her story as an ally by bringing in accurate information, by defining who she is as an ally in honesty, with integrity, with listening ears, with a caring heart. And you can be honest when you're defining who you are as an ally, of what resources you got and how you became an ally and why you're an ally. That story is just as important as somebody in the community, because it takes everybody working together to bring a change. Allies need to stand with any group that's trying to make a change, whether it's Black Lives Matter or the LGBTQ plus community, or you know, the transgender people who are trying so hard to fight these, what Tennessee calls the, people in Tennessee call it the slate of hate laws, that are just trying to erase the lives, basically, of transgender children. It takes allies voting against these. It takes allies speaking up and say, oh, wait a minute. I'm not transgender, but I'm not voting for this. This is hurtful. This is wrong. It takes all of us working together to bring change. So allies are so valuable. So telling your story as an ally. I see some people online who do it so, so well. I have some friends who are saying, this isn't my story, but read the story of this person I know. read this amazing resource that I know to be accurate and true. And they're then getting these stories to people who would never hear them. That's what an ally does. Allies lift up the voices that are already there. And if they're creating a new voice, like Janet Duke creating this Parenting Transgender Children book, it's an amazing book. Truly, that's another resource that I'm putting out there for you today. It's, you're doing it with integrity. You're doing it in connection with the people that you're writing about, with counselors who work in the field. You're verifying your information. There's a lot of people who become allies for the wrong reasons. And it becomes so hurtful. Now, when you're writing your story as an LGBTQ plus person or in any group that you're trying to bring change, you can incorporate your story and tell somebody if they're being an ally in a hurtful way, if they're not really being an ally. I did that recently. That's another way that you can use your story to be an advocate, is honestly and lovingly tell that person or that group of people how they're being hurtful instead of helpful. I'll give you an example. It's Pride Month. People know that I went to Pride. They've seen the pictures, and word got back to me that a particular church that I've been affiliated with in the past wanted to go to Pride next year and said, hey, I think I will go to Pride next year and set up a banner and we will be present. And I immediately said, absolutely not. You can't do that. You're not an ally. And I sent them a loving, like, I hope it was nice. I hope it was helpful. I try not to be hurtful because there's enough hurtful people in the world. But I sent them a list of things that they have to do before they can call themselves an ally. You have to really live it if you're going to call yourself an ally. If somebody looks at your life and it's like Stan Mitchell said, you have to be close enough to feel the thrones being thrown at the community. This particular church does not do that. This particular church tries to make sure that the peace is kept at all cost, that other people's feelings aren't hurt, which is not being an ally, because there's times where you have to tell somebody you are being hurtful. And if they get mad and walk away and throw stones, you have to be able to take those stones being thrown also. So if you have members in your group, if you have members in a church who are posting hateful things, you have to call them out. Whether it's from the pulpit or, and I don't mean call out somebody's name from the pulpit, okay? I don't mean stand up at the pulpit and use it to throw daggers at somebody. But you have to preach some kind of sermon that lets that person know that hateful speech online is wrong. And if you don't do that, then you're not an ally. This particular church prays for all kinds of people. I see their prayer list. They pray for They help the Guatemalan consulate in their area. They pray for Haiti. They pray for all kind of issues, natural disasters. They do all kind of work. But during this legislative season, when so many transgender people were targeted in their state and so much hate was thrown, on their prayer list that went out was not a single mention of the transgender children in the community who were all going to lose their health care because of the vote. They did not pray for people that were losing their rights. There was no mention anywhere of the damage being done in this state to the LGBTQ plus community. So that means you're not an ally. If you're too scared to put it on your prayer list when you see people being hurt, that means either you can't see the people being hurt, you're oblivious to the pain that's going on around you, or you're too scared to put it on there because you're scared somebody will get mad. That's not being an ally. You got to put that on your prayer list. If you're going to pray for all these other groups, you got to put that on your prayer list. You also have to correctly educate people. Offer occasional seminars. Yeah, your haters aren't going to come. 100% of your people are probably not going to show up, but offer it. Offer some of the Reconciling Ministry Network classes. Find some affirming curriculum and offer it. Offer a seminar. What does it mean to be transgender? And make sure it's good information. You can invite someone who's transgender and is an advocate who's out. Don't necessarily require the person in your church to do it. They may not want to be out to everybody. But find somebody. There's speakers who are advocates that are out. And you can find their resources and you can show clips of them. There's a Mama Bear documentary. That's another great resource there. Show the Mama Bear doc. MamaBearDoc.org, I think it is. Show it in your congregation, in your group, in your nonprofit group. You've got to listen to what people say makes you not an ally. The church I'm particularly thinking of doesn't share pronouns. It's not on name tags. When the minister gets up, doesn't say, "Hi, I'm minister's name, and I use he, him, my pronouns are he, him, his." That would be reconciling. Mention have a June Pride class before you try to show up at Pride. You can't just show up at Pride without an actual class first. You have to be an ally first before you just show up somewhere. You have to have at least one reconciling small group. You have to have a place that if somebody comes and they choose to share with somebody with their transgender, or they don't, they just walk in and they don't want to come out, but they can find the group that they know that they'll be safe in if there's an issue that they want to have prayed for, if they decide they want to come out. And they may never want to come out. So people don't have to come out. That's some, myth that everybody is going to come out and just talk about their lives. A lot of people just live their lives quietly. Designate a bathroom as a family bathroom that all genders can use. It could be a single stall bathroom somewhere, but it matters. Let people know. And think about the name of the groups in your church. This is particularly important for the church I'm talking about, who wants to be an ally, claims to be an ally and wants to show up at Pride. They have two service groups. Their church is broken into two service groups only. One is called Bros and one is called Sis. S-I-S. So for brothers and sisters. Now think about that. A non-binary or a transgender person walks in and you have two groups that do service work. So where do you want to go? Bros or Sis? S-I-S. That's it. They do have a United Methodist Women. What does that tell the person who's non-binary? It says, "I don't care." Even if you say, "Oh, but I'd let them pick whichever one they wanted to go to." They shouldn't have to pick. You divided your church up in half by gender, which is the opposite of what the LGBTQ plus community is doing right now. So you're just by the name of your groups that are on your website, you automatically are not an ally currently because it shows your lack of understanding. So you can't show up at Pride because you think it would be fun for some of your young adults who happen to be allies. You need to educate them on how they're not being an ally in your church. You need to make changes. That's what people do who are allies. They listen. They listen to somebody say, "Hey, you got two groups. You divided your church down the middle by gender. How's that going to work? What if somebody comes in and doesn't fit into one of those genders?" You're automatically not an ally. You can't show up at Pride and say, "Oh, we're great. We love you. Come on." When what you're putting out to the world is not an ally. They have written their story on their website, and their story clearly says, "I am not an ally." And they're trying to stick a label on a story that's already written without changing the story. Now, most of us have to change our story to be an ally because we're not naturally allies for people who are anybody who's not like us. It's easy to be an ally for somebody who's the same gender identity or the same sexual preference or the same race or, you know, the same anything, because there comes with a level of understanding. And of course, we want to be allies for ourselves. But that's not enough. We have to be allies for other people also. If we want this world to be a better world, if we really want to bring peace and love and justice and hope, we have to be allies for other people too. We have to listen. So look at the story you've written and ask yourself. I told you this month was going to be rough for me with some health issues. And you're going to have to just make it through my podcast. And I'm so thankful for the people who hang in with me. Write your story as an ally. Change your story if you have to. Look at the story that you have written and ask yourself if that story is truly the story of an ally. If it's not, change your story before you put that label on yourself. Change it with integrity. Read books like Sarah Cunningham's book that I mentioned in my last one, or this book by Janet Duke, Parenting Transgender Children. Listen to people at Pride First. Look at the laws that are being talked about in your state and ask yourself, did I encourage my group to pray over these? Did I say something good and helpful and loving to the people who are being legislated against? Did I make my place, my space, a safe space, whether it's your home or your church or your nonprofit group? What did I do to live the life of an ally?